I don't think people knew had really heard of Zoom or StreamYard or a lot of these platforms, or had never really used them. And now you look at the all over social media, the different platforms and folks that are using live, you know, Twitter and Facebook shows and all kinds of, it's really become a big deal. And we're incorporating that at the paper. And I think that's one of the things that's become a positive, is the increase in stuff like this, and the ability to do interviews from remote locations and things like that. That's been one of the nice things, because I'm a multimedia guy. I've been had a podcast for a couple of years, and to be able to add the video element to it and some of the other things we're doing, that has been a nice find from all this mess.
Welcome to the News Nirvana podcast. I'm your host, Nick Parker. The News Nirvana podcast features conversations with media professionals from across the country, highlighting our ever-evolving business models and showcasing the strong and effective journalism produced each and every day. This podcast is made possible to you by the generosity of Town News. Town News delivers solutions, services, and guidance empowering local media organizations to thrive in an ever-changing digital world. Contact Town News today to learn more how they can help you thrive. Connect with them at townnews.com.
BJ Raines, welcome to the News Nirvana podcast.
Hey, appreciate you having me on. This will be fun.
This is my first sports guest, so I'm kind of happy to do this. I came up as a sports writer, so I have a little bit of love for the sports field. And I think I may have said this before in another interview, but I always say the best reporters in any newsroom are found in the sports department.
I wouldn't disagree with that. we do get pulled over occasionally to news stories if something big happens or whatever. And I think it's much easier to spot in on a sports guy doing a news story than a news person have to come over and do a sports story. So I do think there is something to that.
And I think some of that is just the nature of sports. You learn to cover every type of thing. I mean, you're doing a deadline story for games, you're doing features. Sometimes you dip into that, you know, column world. You really have to learn to do every type of reporting.
Yeah. If you put it that way, yeah, the game coverage, or whether it be spot news coverage, if something happens on your beat, or the big features. I mean, yeah, you do have to have a pretty expanded role. You're not just writing about court appearances every week or things like that, where it's kind of a monotonous, you know, mundane, same exact, you know, format to your story. So yeah, there's a lot of different styles, and but again, it's, you know, you're writing about sports, which makes it fun, at least if you like sports, which I do.
Well, let's do that. You are with the Idaho Press and blueturfsports.com. You're the Boise State beat writer for Idaho Press and the online editor over on Blue Turf Sports. Tell me a little bit about covering Boise State. First thing everybody wants to know about, how awesome is the Blue Turf?
Well, it's not true. It is a myth that before practice every day, they have to go clean the ducks and the birds off that nosedived thinking it was water and died. That I get asked about that probably every other radio or podcast interview I do. And that is not true. They don't have to cover the field just so that the birds don't think it's water and nosedive and, you know, commit suicide. But it's pretty cool. It was, you know, seeing it on TV. I vividly remember watching the 2006 Fiesta Bowl against Oklahoma with the Statue of Liberty. I remember watching that at my house, you know, as a sophomore in college or whatever it was. And then, you know, never at that point thought I'd end up, you know, covering them. But been here, you know, this is my ninth football season, got here in 2013. And just to see up close the program and learn about the history and some of the former players, and just to see kind of how this program works. You know, it's pretty cool. I've always kind of considered myself one of the little guys, you know, my whole life. And so when you hear their story and then being the little guy from a smaller conference and trying to always, you know, make a, you know, big name for themselves nationally and things like that, but they have that chip on their shoulder. It's been fun to see that up close. And, they, you know, because of the blue field, they are kind of a national name recognition brand that you could pretty much ask even average to low average, you know, sports fans, you know, do you know who has the blue field? And a lot of people would say Boise State. So it was a very smart marketing decision for them back in 1986. And, I'm really enjoying it out here.
Is it, do you get a little tired of that aspect of the story?
No, not really. I mean, that's kind of what, you know, that's kind of, they're just, people out here in Boise are just so proud of that. And that's just kind of what they've, you know, they have that blue collar work ethic and that blue collar mentality, and the blue field just kind of fits with their mantra out here. And you get a lot of hardworking people out here in Idaho that kind of fit the same thing. And so I think it's, I think that it's pretty cool. And the people here just, you know, absolutely take a lot of pride in the program and the fact that they have a blue field. And it's been a pretty cool deal, and been pretty cool for me to immerse myself in the history and to learn more about it these last 8-9 years.
Well, I think the big thing right now, right off the bat, that we should probably dig into a little bit is, hey, the season is just about to start, and finally we're gonna have full stadiums. We're gonna have as close back to normal as we can. I know we got to say that hesitantly because there's still a lot of unknowns going on, but. Does it feel like this season is back to what we remember college football being?
I sure hope so. I mean, now you have some schools that are implementing you have to show, you know, have proof of a full vaccine to get into the stadium, or proof of a negative COVID test in the last couple of days. You know, I'm totally fine with that. I know some people aren't, but I think that, you know, I was at the state fair, whatever, last night and saw the amount of people that were out there. I mean, it's just crazy. We're not there yet. I hope that enough people, you know, get the vaccine and we can make this work to get through a season. Last year was awful. It was nothing I ever want to experience again in terms of going to cover games at empty stadiums. I mean, for me, why I got into this business in the first place was just to be able to be a part of the atmosphere. And you walk through the parking lot and the tailgating and the band and all that stuff before the game. And I was, you know, parking right outside the stadium with no traffic and just walking into an empty stadium. You thought you'd be walking in for practice or something. I mean, it was crazy last year, and just how awful that was in terms of just, it wasn't football. It wasn't college football. And so I really hope that, yes, this thing can start peaking and going back down, and we don't have to worry about limiting capacities again or anything like that, because it was horrible. But I think we are, you know, enough's in place now that I think hopefully we'll be able to have fans and a more normal season. I hope we don't have the cancellations and things like that. I mean, we're not quite there yet. There's going to be some issues. I'm hoping, you know, 2022, it'll be 100% back to normal, but I think we're going to be pretty close this year, hopefully.
Well, I like how you described it too. You know, why you got into it was all of the stuff about sports and covering in a full stadium. And I think it's easy to forget that so much of sports writing is the environment. It's all of those other factors that play into what's happening on the field or on the court. Was it, I mean, how hard was it to cover when you're home, you're in an empty stadium. And then when they're on road games, you're likely watching a video and you're doing all your interviews over Zoom calls.
Yeah, I mean, luckily our paper, I still traveled to the road games last year. Mostly because we'd already bought all the tickets. The Zoom calls was interesting because, you know, I would travel to Air Force Academy for a game at Air Force, and I'm up in the press box and I can see the coach and the players down on the field with a laptop set up at a table doing the post game interviews on Zoom, and I can see them physically, and we're both in Colorado in the stadium, and we can't be doing it in person because of all the COVID restrictions. So that part of it was weird. You know, college basketball is my favorite sport, and being there courtside, you know, usually in some of the games last year, you'd have, you know, packed student sections and fans going crazy. And it was actually more weirder for me for basketball, being in an empty gym and being courtside and being able to hear all the players and coaches talking and the refs and everything. Cause it was just an empty arena. It felt like a scrimmage, the intensity, it just wasn't there for me at least. And so, yeah, I mean, that's, like I said, that's part of being there and part of, you know, players and fans get excited for big games. I wake up on game day excited too and thinking about that. So, but then when you get there and it's just kind of a, you know, quiet, empty atmosphere, it's just not the same. So it was very odd, and the whole Zoom calls and all that was a whole nother deal that, you know, we're back dealing with again a little bit this year right now. And so hopefully we can at some point move past that, because it does make the job a lot tougher.
Did your interview, and I'm curious about this, did your interview style change at all, the way you approached interviews? And I ask because I'm an old newspaper guy, so when I started podcasting a lot, I had to change a little bit how I interviewed and how I talked to people because of this format. And sometimes they're in my studio with me, and sometimes they're like you are over this video link. But did you have to adjust your approach and how you interview people?
Yeah, it's made it tougher. I mean, if you're doing in-person interviews and you're talking to a guy and he gives you a great story about his grandma, you know, or somebody convincing him to get the vaccine or whatever, you know, then, you know, typically after the interview and, you know, when he's over, you can pull him over to the side and say, hey, man, that was a great story. You know, would you mind if I called your grandma and, you know, got her number and asked her about that? Or if someone says their dad was a big influential person or their high school coach or whatever, there was more opportunities to be like, hey, man, would you mind if I, you know, tried to call him or something? Now, when you've got, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 media members all on the same Zoom call, everyone's getting the same questions. So yeah, it is really tough. It's harder to get the in-depth features and more of the, you know, personable stories because everybody's getting the same stuff. And you also maybe can't, you know, ask the same type of questions, get as personal or something if you're on a Zoom interview than if it's just you one-on-one with the guy off to the side in the corner. So that has made it a little tougher. It's a lot more, it's just harder to get, the feature writing and some of that kind of stuff, I think, has taken a dip because, you know, we have two papers in Boise and there's, you know, a couple of TV stations, and it's just, you know, you like to try to get your own unique stuff. And it's tough to do that when all 10 people are on the same Zoom call getting the same quotes. And so that has made it a little tougher, and you've had to go out on your own and try to find different ways to, you know, still come up with unique content.
What were some of the things that you did to get to those?
Well, I mean, again, you have to try to, you just have to do more on your own, reaching out to, I'm a guy that in a lot of my feature stories, if I'm writing about a kid, I want to talk to his mom. I want to talk to his high school coach. I want to talk to his best friend, you know, people like that. And so in the past, you could just ask the guy to hand over their number. And now, like I said, you're not doing that. You're not on Zoom in front of 10 people saying, hey, can I get your mom's cell phone number? It's just not the way it works. Usually you do your group interview and then you'd finish and then you'd kind of pull the guy off to the side before he walked away or something in private and tell them what you're doing. So you've had to do more kind of back channels and trying to call the school and do different ways, try to reach out on Facebook if you can find the mom's name, and just there's different ways you have to try to do it. It's much tougher, and it's just a different style of reporting. And in a normal interview setting, you know, you just kind of go and one guy asks a question, then the other guy asks a question, then if you have a follow-up, you can ask that. Now the way they do it, at least for Boise State now, is, you know, you get your 3 or 4 questions and the next guy gets his 3 or 4 questions and the next guy gets his 3 or 4, and you kind of just go down the line. And so it's just, if you forgot something, sometimes they have time for follow-up, sometimes they don't. If somebody said something that triggered a question you want to ask, sometimes you don't get the opportunity to follow up with it. So it's just a different style. And I think from the team perspective, they kind of like it because they actually get more media on some of these calls than they normally would down right at the state, down at the stadium, because maybe there's a TV station in town that doesn't have a dedicated sports reporter or doesn't have somebody that they could assign for 2 hours that day to go down to Boise State and get the interviews. But if they can just from the office jump on the Zoom call and record the sound, then all of a sudden they've got, you know, 2 or 3 stations playing sound bites on the news tonight, as opposed to the one that they normally would have. So I think from the school perspective, they actually kind of like it from that standpoint. From a reporter standpoint, and, you know, sure, once in a while it's nice to not have to take a shower and go down to Boise State if you want to just wake up and work from home for the day and do the Zoom interviews. I mean, that is nice once in a while. But from a journalistic standpoint, it's just not ideal. And we moved past it over the summer. We got back to in-person interviews for a while. And then with the rise in cases and stuff, once the season hit, we've gone back to mostly Zoom here the last month or so, which has been tough and not something we're hoping sticks for very long.
Yeah, I think you're right in that you know, structured press conferences never make for good interviews.
Nope.
You know, it is. I think you're right too. It's good for the school side; they can kind of control things. It also makes it easier for others to jump on and grab. But it doesn't make for great interviews and great content that you're looking for as a reporter. Were you able to get any? I mean, were there some good stories though that you were able to dig around and find during all this, or was it just kind of trying to keep up?
I mean, yeah, there's some, but I mean, there's certainly good stories. You know, even just yesterday, we were talking to a wide receiver who it just depends what the player is willing to say. Sometimes on these Zoom calls, players are real reserved. You don't know all the people. You're looking at 10 different faces on the Zoom and they're kind of pretty, you know, guarded in what they say. And then you get some guys that get on there and just, you know, first question, how you doing, CT? He's like, well, I'm doing great now. You know, how was fall camp? Well, you know, I missed the first 10 days because I tested positive for COVID, but I'm back now. Then it's like, oh, well, let's, you know, okay, let's ask about that. So yesterday you had a player, a wide receiver, you know, go in pretty detail about how he was one of the players on the fence, didn't get the vaccine at first, and then his grandma talked him into it, and then he finally got it. And then literally the day he took the vaccine, he found out 2 hours later that he had tested positive from the previous day's test or whatever. And so just a random coincidence. But we've gotten some good stories. And like I said, all the good stories, unfortunately, most of which are, you know, the other paper and everybody else is getting the same stuff. So you just have to kind of be unique about it. And you can't hold stuff as much in the past. Sometimes I do some interviews and then you'd wait a week or two to write the story. But now if everyone's getting it, and it's the soundbite's going to be on the news tonight, you got to, you know, right away race the 3 hours after the interviews and hurry and get the story online, so it doesn't look like you're copying the other guy or whatever else. I mean, it's just a whole new wave of journalism. And, but you know, we've added the podcast element. We do a similar kind of video show. We've added, you know, as much as we can, in addition to just the straight typical stuff we did in the past, to try to continue to add value and do, you know, things. And that has been good. You know, the pandemic, you know, I don't think people knew had really heard of Zoom or StreamYard or a lot of these platforms, or had never really used them. And now you look at the all over social media, the different platforms and folks that are using live, you know, Twitter and Facebook shows and all kinds of, it's just, it's really become a big deal. And we're incorporating that at the paper. And I think that's one of the things that's become a positive, is the increase in stuff like this and the ability to do interviews from remote locations and things like that. That's been one of the nice things, because I'm a multimedia guy. I've had a podcast for a couple of years, and to be able to add the video element to it and some of the other things we're doing, that has been a nice find from all this mess.
And I think people like hearing the conversation too. That's what I've found, and I've been doing the podcasting for about 4.5 years now, and I think people like listening to the actual conversation as much as they like reading the storytelling. I think they're different things and different, obviously different ways to tell the story, but I do think the podcast and the video stuff has just given people a different story to watch.
Yeah, no, I agree. We use StreamYard, I think the program we're recording this on, and it's been very nice and easy. And I think it was, this technology existed, nobody just knew about it, or nobody.
Well, this is a company that came up during the pandemic. Right.
And that's,
it's
crazy.
It's a web-based studio.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And all the video, you know, we show video commercials on our podcast now. We can do all kinds of stuff. It's just a total, and I've seen other guys basically that have lost their jobs or whatever, start their own business and start their own thing where they're doing live shows and selling their own advertising and putting logos at the bottom of the screen. I mean, it's crazy to think about where this is going and stuff, but it's certainly been a nice element that we've been able to incorporate in terms of, and I hope to really, you know, now that we're into the season, in terms of, you know, pregame shows, postgame shows, things like that that would normally be reserved for the radio or whatever, we can now do on social media and live on our paper and things like that. So I think that, you know, element of it is something that, at least for us, is picked up in interest. And it's one thing to do an audio podcast and then post the audio or post it to iTunes and people can go listen to that. But when you say, hey, we're live now on right here on Twitter, and just click and you can interact and you can ask questions during the show and all kinds of stuff like that and interact live, I think that's a whole new element that you almost become a sports talk radio show with on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Twitch and wherever else you want to put it. And you can, as I said, interact in real time. So you can take questions and comments and do all kinds of different things from fans. And I think that's a really cool thing that I think, you know, people are only going to continue to grow that side of it in terms of the sponsorships and what you can do with things like that.
The News Nirvana podcast is brought to you by Town News, the creators of IQ Audience Plus. IQ Audience Plus replaces your old school, one-size-fits-all paywall with a smarter metering solution that targets visitors with custom offers, converting drive-bys into paying subscribers. Learn more at townnews.com/audience.
As exciting as the live streams are, and they're a lot of fun, especially when you get that good engagement from your viewers interacting back and forth. But I have found too, I mean, the replays are weird. Is really, that's the big thing, is I almost get more views from a live stream replay than I do anything else.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Yep. You know, that's why to me, I always struggle with what time do I do the show at? You know, it's sometimes better to do it at noon or at one, you know, if it works better for me. Sometimes in the evenings at 7 or 8, if you're going to do it live, is when more people have, you know, already put their kids to bed or whatever, or scrolling on their phones.
Right.
It just depends. But you're right. It doesn't really matter anymore. And I tell the guests that, I tell people that, you know, don't worry about what it says for how many people are watching or whatever, because this thing stays on here and we can retweet it, you know, 10 times in the next 3 days. And all of a sudden the page views have gone up by, you know, 10. So yeah, we did one just the other day, previewing the season. And at the end of the show, we were at, you know, 220, I think it was, live people at the end. And the problem is, you know, we're getting technical, but if you broadcast it to 5 different streams, at least on this program, you have to go add up the 5 different counts. You can't get like one big count of how many page views you're at, which
right.
isn't.
I didn't get into sports to do math.
Yes, exactly. So, but just on one of the Twitter handle accounts that we broadcasted it to, it said you're at, you know, 230 or whatever, and then I came back about 24 hours later, and it was like, you know, at 1600 or something. So it just continues. More people continue to see it. So, and like I said, I think it's much more appealing, as you said, when you're scrolling on Twitter, when you see two people's faces talking and it's something scrolling at the bottom in terms of a live show, than just some link to a stagnant podcast that you could listen to whenever you want. So I think it is pretty cool, and I've really taken advantage of that and made that a big deal of a big part of our coverage here in the last couple of months.
Right. Well, when you take into account all of these different things that we've talked about here, how are you changing, I guess, your strategy, your approach to covering the season, so that you can get to all those different kinds of stories, whether it's you know, as a writer, as a podcaster, as you know, live streaming. I mean, these are all just great tools now that, man, as one reporter, you can do all of these things where we used to have to send a team.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's not as much going to practice anymore, at least right now. You're not on the ground doing as much hands-on reporting. So a lot of it is from afar. And so you're doing the Zoom, and you're no different from a fan in terms of, you know, the access for a lot of it. I mean, I'll get to be in the press box for the games and stuff, but you're not going to practice. You're not going down there and shaking the coach's hand for the interviews. So you're doing a lot of it remotely. And so I think stuff like this and a lot of the just more digital stuff that you can do regardless of where you're at, you know, I think is proving to be useful. And, you know, I think some people say, oh, well, you know, last year some reporters didn't travel. And I think some papers and some people might have gone, hey, you know, you've proven you don't need to be at the games. You can cover this remotely on the road and save us the money and write all this. I mean, that's just hogwash. And I know it's going down a different, you know, avenue, but I just think there's still value to being at the games. There's still value to being at practice. But if you don't have some of that, you have to find other ways. And so, you know, never in a million years would I be able to sit in the past. Would I have been able to or thought about being able to just sit on my couch and record live shows and podcasts and things like this and be able to get my message and my brand and our papers, you know, information out to the fans on pretty much any time I want. I mean, if I have something I want to say to people right now, or a story that comes out and I can write the story, and then I can jump on social media show and talk about it for 20 minutes and ask fans what they think about the news. And you can just do so much more interaction and engagement, I think, helps spread your brand and your products and things like that in real time, where before you'd write your story and you'd be, you know, done for the day and cracking open a cold one. I mean, now it's a lot different in terms of just, you know, what else you can package together, that the news story, or you can cover the game and then you can jump on and talk about the game. And there's just so much more now that I think all comes together. And it has been tough to still find those unique stories and the unique things, but I think I'm adding enough in the other areas that I think is kind of making up for that.
Well, you hit on something earlier. We talked about, you know, you're not down on the field shaking the coach's hand. Sports especially, but any beat, you know, right? Any reporter covering any beat, there's so much that comes from the relationship. And so has it been hard for you to keep those relationships with coaches and players, ADs, you know, the SIDs that give you access to everything? I mean, how have you been able to maintain those relationships that you need to get your stories.
Yeah, that's been tough. You know, a lot of times questions would be easier to ask in person. If you bump into a guy, now you're having to send an awkward text or whatever that you're hoping you get a reply for and stuff. Some, you know, just it is different. You do the best you can, but yeah, certainly like the relationships help, you know, and both sports, basketball too, when it comes to non-conference scheduling news or things like that. You know, I may go down and watch a summer basketball workout in the past and the coach would come over and go, hey, yeah, you know, we're playing this team, you didn't hear it from me, but you can put it out there or something. I don't know. Just you get nuggets and tidbits and stuff being at practice. It's much less that they're going to, you know, a coach is just going to randomly or an AD is going to randomly call you or text you with, oh, here's a story you can put out there. But it's just different when you see them and you run into them or you hear stuff. And you can, it's easier to say, hey, I heard this crazy rumor. It's probably false, whatever. If you're just, you know, bump into the guy on the sidelines at practice than trying to, you know, give him a call or whatever. So it that has made it tougher. You know, you try to text and call and do what you can, but there's nothing is a even substitute for on the ground reporting and being at the games, being at practice. And, you know, Boise State's starting quarterback last year had COVID. They didn't announce it. They didn't say anything that he was going to miss the game. And if I wasn't in the press box at Air Force, I would have never known until the kickoff. 2 hours before the game, they come out for the warmups and I'm looking and they're, all the other quarterbacks are out there. Number 19's not out there. And so 2 hours before the game, I'm, you know, writing a story and I wrote a story and all these national reporters and stuff were retweeting me. And it was one of the better read stories I had all season because I was in the press box and there and able to see that this guy wasn't there. And so the TV reporters and the other people that weren't there, they couldn't confirm that they weren't at the game. They had to wait till kickoff started or whenever the injury list came out 45 minutes before the game. And so stuff like that, where if you're not there, if you're not at practice, if you're not watching what's going on, you don't see everything from the TV broadcast. You know, you miss a lot from that. So there's still a tremendous value and there always will be in terms of on the ground reporting. And, you know, I don't think we're ever going to go fully to Zoom interviews. I could see some, you know, summer things, or if it's a last second press conference where it's easier to do it on Zoom, maybe I could see that happening, or if the person's out of town or whatever. But I still hope we get back to as much in-person as possible, because there is a ton of value, particularly in any beat writing job, but particularly in sports, to still having that face-to-face relationship, being able to shake somebody's hand.
Yeah, I think it would be even more difficult if your beat were somewhere they had a new head coach.
We got a new head coach and a new athletic director in the last 7 months on my beat. So that has been fun. Luckily, the coach was previously here as an assistant coach, so had a good relationship with them. And like I said, over the summer, they did luckily go back to in-person for a few months. We still wore masks and stuff, but luckily when things had died down for a while. But Idaho right now is not doing very well in terms of the numbers, and the hospitals are all full and overrun. And so it's gone the other way. But there was a couple months in the middle where we were able to get some face-to-face with the coach and the AD, and it has, from that aspect, you know, been a little better. But yeah, I was talking to the beat writer of the other paper in town. He actually took the beat in the middle of the pandemic, so he didn't get a chance to, you know, for over a year meet the coach in person that he was covering. I mean, stuff like that's, you know, crazy to me that he didn't, you know, right when the pandemic basically started was when he took over. And so he had to go over a year without being able to do any in-person interviews on his beat. And I mean, I can't imagine how hard that would be to build sources and things like that when you can't even meet the person. So it's been all kinds of challenges created by this thing. And I thought we were out of the woods. We're obviously not yet, but I do think there's been some valuable lessons learned from this.
Let's flip over a little bit to what you're doing. So you also are an online editor for blueturfsports.com. What's the, is that just a separate entity, a separate company you've helped start?
Well, it's basically not, it's owned by the paper, but it's basically the website that we created through the paper where all of our content for Boise State coverage goes there. Okay. So it's kind of a specialty site. There's one for the Columbus Dispatch for Ohio State. There's, you know, KUSports.com for the Lawrence Journal World. There's some out there, and we kind of modeled it after some of them, where basically you focus in on the site just on the college team or the pro team in your area. So it's all the stuff that shows up in the paper, and you can still get it on, you know, the idahopress.com website. But it also, we have a special site that just houses all the Boise State coverage, all of our podcasts, all of our videos. We have rosters for the teams. We have stats, we have depth charts. basically we try to make it kind of your one-stop shop for Boise State coverage. And so the branding and everything, we package all the stuff together, you know, Idaho Press, Blue Turf Sports. And so it's just kind of a niche thing that we just started. And it's actually been pretty well received the last couple of years. We started, I think, in 2015, and it's kind of continuing to grow. You know, we wanted to be very clear that it wasn't like a fan site or a blog. So it very clearly says, you know, it's a product of the Idaho Press, and all the stories from the Idaho Press are on there. So, but it's been a good thing to kind of package the Blue Turf Sports logo in the paper and kind of vice versa. And it's been nice. I came up, we spent about a month trying to come up with a name. And I had the winning name of Blue Turf Sports, and it's worked out pretty well. It's been fun.
That is awesome. And it seems like too, when as your paper and other papers are doing this, but it gives you that opportunity to play with all of those different tools that we've been talking about.
Yep. And just the, you know, Idaho Press website, I think was one of the things I looked at, and was just kind of hard to get to the Boise State stuff. We had to drop down to sports and just the links and all that. And so this is just much easier for social media and stuff. Hey, blueturfsports.com. And we've got, you know, the Blue Turf background is the, you know, on the page, and we got, you know, it's branded, you know, with Blue Turf Sports. So it just, you know, when you go to that site, you're going to get Boise State coverage. And so it's just easier. And then yes, it's kind of my baby. So I'm able to add all the podcasts and the videos and the photo galleries, and we put up the, you know, videos we upload all the post game and all the press conference video to YouTube, and then embed it into our site that way. And then there's all kinds of things we do. So, it's been pretty cool. And, I've really enjoyed that aspect of it.
I would imagine that the audience reach is so much better, because what you're able to do, not only with that product, but then your social reach as you're just doing this thing, that you can really build your audience. And look, sports writers, I mean, that's kind of become like, they become a brand unto themselves also, right? And especially, I think Twitter is a place where people go to follow sports writers.
Oh, definitely. It's been very, that aspect of it has really helped, because it's just, like I said, it's when you just say Blue Turf Sports, people right away know what you're talking about, Boise State football. And so it's been a nice way to, from that aspect, really help with the branding.
Well, as we wrap things up here, tell me a little bit, what are you excited about? Are there good stories that you're looking to tell, that you're ready for this year?
Well, I just, you know, I would like to tell the story of being past this virus and past, you know, past all of this. And
I think you just spoke for every reporter everywhere.
Unfortunately, we're not there yet. And unfortunately, you know, and I'd say, you know, one out of every three stories, probably, or four stories, has some sort of COVID reference or something to do with COVID. And it's not like we like writing about it. I get tons of emails and people saying, can we move past the COVID talk and all this? But it's just, unfortunately, it's especially in the sports world, that's still going to be the story. You know, well, how many percent of the team is vaccinated? You know, how many players are missing this game because they have it? Is there a worry about missing this game? Are you going to be able to have full stadiums? Or are you going to have to, you know, cut back? And we, as we talked about earlier, now schools requiring vaccination cards or proof of negative tests. I mean, there's just so many stories. You know, are you going to have to wear masks in the stadium? There's just so much when it comes to COVID that's not going away. And so it dominates the coverage. And unfortunately, it's not going away anytime soon. But, you know, I love telling the kids stories and their backstories. And you know, it's a great drama to watch a college football season or a college basketball season unfold from day one till the end. And I hope we can, you know, I hope that's the focus this year, is what happens on the field and not cancellations and things like that due to what's going on.
Yeah, I think you're right, though. That's going to be the story for a while, unfortunately. I know in my metro area, we just had yesterday, couple of area high school teams canceled their opening games.
It's disappointing. And I would bet, you know, if I had to be a betting man, I would say a Division I FBS college game. There'll be games that get canceled this year, unfortunately. I mean, I don't think you're going to go through a full season. It won't be nearly as many as last year, where you were having 10, 15, 20 games canceled a week. I think a lot of these teams are getting full participation or close in terms of the players getting vaccinated, which is going to help. But I still think you're going to have, you know, the wrong room, you know, the quarterback room with four of the five quarterbacks all are in quarantine or test positive, and you can't play a game or something. And so, I mean, there will be a game canceled this year. It's still going to be impacting on the season, no doubt about it.
Yeah. Well, BJ, I appreciate you taking some time and talking to me today. It's fun to finally get to talk a little bit of sports on this podcast. But, you know, what we're trying to do is talk to every aspect of our industry and just kind of tell the stories of what's going on. And it's a changing industry. And as you've just told us, the last couple of years, last year and this year are going to be different as a reporter.
Yeah, I'm just glad my battery on my laptop made it through. I had to plug it in real quick at the last minute. But
for those that watch on video, they got to see you run inside for your
podcast. Yes, yeah. I was trying to frantically tell my wife to grab the cord of the computer without making a noise. But no, it was definitely fun, and it's certainly an interesting industry. And I think a lot of people think, oh, you're just, getting paid to watch sports, which is great, but there is a lot more to it. And it's an evolving, changing business right now. And I think there is some good that's come from this pandemic and stuff, like we talked about with some of the digital stuff and this video shows and the way you have to go about finding sources and things like that. It's made you work a little harder. And so I think there is some good that's coming from this, but there's been plenty of bad as well. And so I hope that we can get past this and get back to normal as soon as possible.
I always laugh when people said that about getting paid to watch games. Absolutely. But I also get paid to tell the stories. And that's the fun. And I think what you just alluded to is out of all this, we're going to be better storytellers.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. You get the free food in the press box too. Don't forget, that's always the one that people like to, oh, you just sit up anytime you say something about the fans or you rip on the attendance or you do anything. Oh, you just sit up in the warm press box and eat a free meal and all this stuff, which is true. And that's very nice, but I'm also there till 4 a.m, posting video and writing stuff and whatever else. I mean, it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of travel involved too, which can be good or bad. But you're right. You're there to watch the game, but you're also there to tell the stories. And it's, I just love that. I love that aspect of it. And I love college kids. I've covered pro too, but I think the college kids aspect of it is, it's just special when they're in college. And now you have the whole name, image, likeness thing, which is changing a little bit now that they're getting paid and stuff. But I mean, it's there's something about college sports that just, the tailgating and all that stuff that, I just love. And I really do hope this fall is much closer to what we're used to in that area.
And that's that atmosphere environment piece that you talked about in the very beginning. And we didn't touch at all on the naming and image rights for the athletes. Maybe that's a show later on that we can talk about, because that's going to be, I think, very interesting to watch unfold this first year. BJ, thanks again. I really appreciate the time.
No problem. We can do it again anytime.
All right. That will wrap us up for this time. We'll talk to everybody on the next episode.
The News Nirvana podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or most any of your favorite podcast apps. The News Nirvana podcast is made possible by the generosity of Town News. Connect with Town News at townnews.com. The News Nirvana podcast is produced by Fredcasts. Think, speak, act,